Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Ty Bannerman. Mayors of 19 different New Mexico communities are calling for the governor to lift the stay-at-home order as local businesses struggle and many people wonder how they'll pay the bills this summer. Meanwhile, medical professionals on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic say that the worst may be yet to come. This morning, we are talking about calls to reopen the state and what that might mean for New Mexicans. And we want to hear from you. Are you the owner of a small business? Do you think the governor is correct in keeping the stay-at-home order in place until at least mid-May? Are you a medical worker? What do you think people need to know about what's going on in hospitals right now? Email us at letstalk@kunm.org. Tweet to us using the hashtag letstalknm or call in live during the show. Joining me now is Dr. Craig Jensen, a pulmonologist who works with multiple hospitals in the area. Good morning, Dr. Jensen. First of all, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good morning.
So yesterday, the state saw 239 new cases of COVID-19, the highest number of cases in a single day yet. Where are we on the flattening of that curve that everyone's talking about?
Well, I think that the flattening of the curve has helped decrease the peak of cases that we're having, but it is delaying the clinical peak that we're likely to see, which we anticipate coming probably mid-May at this point.
And when you say clinical peak, that you mean like cases in the hospital?
The maximum number of cases that we're going to see at any given time.
So as I mentioned, you are a pulmonologist, so you deal with patients who have diseases of the respiratory tract. Obviously, that includes COVID-19. What sort of work do you do for patients that have COVID?
Well, I work in the intensive care unit, so we care for patients with one of the more severe presentations of COVID-19 right now, which includes respiratory failure requiring ventilators to support them to try to recover from this illness.
And are you seeing a shortage in the number of ventilators, such as was predicted earlier in the year?
We haven't gotten to that point at the currently. We have enough ventilators to care for the patients that we're caring for right now.
And what are you seeing in terms of the hospital's general capacity to deal with the numbers of patients that you currently have?
Well, we're seeing many, many more cases, many referrals from the northwest portion of our state currently. We're working with an excellent crew that have been doing a lot of contingency planning for expanding our capacity to care for increasing numbers of ICU patients.
Okay. And in our earlier conversation, you mentioned that one of the ways that COVID is making your job harder is that patients' relatives aren't able to be physically present at the hospital. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, I think it's been particularly stressful for everybody, even for patients who do not have COVID, to not have family ability to be present with them in the hospital and visit and interface with the medical providers is difficult. It's particularly difficult for COVID patients who are on ventilators, and it really necessitates a lot of efforts at trying to communicate with non-present family by telephone who obviously have a lot harder time understanding the clinical situation when they can't see it with their own eyes. There have been a lot of help to try to increase ability to communicate with family through decision support groups and technology, but it's a lot more stressful than it has been.
And is that's also stressful for the medical workers?
Yeah, very much so. It's additional time requirements and a lot more really stresses our ability to communicate the clinical setting with patients' families and loved ones who can't see for themselves the patient and the situation that they're in.
And what about like a medical strain? I'm sorry, an emotional strain with working with patients who may be in a very serious medical state, but separated from their family and loved ones.
Yeah, I can't emphasize enough how difficult the emotional strain has been on everybody. You know, I think for families to have to navigate sometimes end of life decisions and difficult medical decisions and be unable to see or be with their loved ones is extraordinarily stressful.
So if you are listening and you think you should be tested, call the New Mexico Department of Health Coronavirus Hotline at 1-855-600-3453. Or if you have non-health related concerns, 1-833-551-0518. So, Dr. Jensen, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham announced last week that efforts to flatten the curve are working, but she also extended the stay-at-home order until mid-May. We're seeing a lot of different people in New Mexico wishing to see the end of this stay-at-home order. We're seeing protests such as those organized by Operation Gridlock that are calling for an immediate end to the order. What do you think people are maybe missing from this conversation?
Well, I guess what I would say is hats off to Governor Lujan Grisham for having so much courage and conviction during such a difficult and uncertain time. I think her efforts are amazing. I understand the anxiety that everyone has socially and economically, and we are seeing the success of the stay-at-home orders, but what it's always known to do is to delay these clinical peaks and the maximum numbers of patients that we're going to see. So it has resulted in some social and epidemiologic stabilization, particularly on the coasts. But what we're going to see is, you know, increasing numbers of cases here. And I think it's a really careful balance. So I guess what I would ask is that people understand that we all need each other and that we should try to have some patience and try to make sure that we focus some of our anxieties on making sure that we get the somewhat delayed and failed financial support that is supposed to be coming from Washington and hang in there together.
Now you're talking about support for small businesses and individuals who may be out of work?
That's exactly right.
So you think that would be more the way to deal with the problems caused by people having to stay at home and not operate their businesses?
I think that would be helpful. And then, you know, really careful, graded, thoughtful reopening plans and keep washing your hands and wearing masks, social distancing.
Now, you work at hospitals all over the state, is that correct?
Well, I work with two hospitals in the Albuquerque metropolitan area.
Oh, okay, I see. Are you seeing cases coming from rural areas to Albuquerque, or are people mainly, are cases staying in the communities where they live?
We are seeing quite a few cases coming from the northwest portion of our state, from Gallup and McKinley County, Shiprock, Farmington, Crown Point.
Okay, so is that contributing to difficulties in hospital capacity here?
Absolutely. We're seeing quite a number of cases from there, and how that'll impact our ability to take care of local surge is, you know, it's going to be a challenge, I suspect.
Okay, well, we have a call in from Kristen Redman in Albuquerque. Good morning, Kristen. You are a pediatric respiratory therapist, is that correct?
Yes, it is. Good morning, Kai.
And are your experiences lining up with what we're hearing from Dr. Jensen? Are you dealing with similar difficulties in hospital capacity?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we're seeing, and gratefully, is not such a high number in the pediatric populations, but our adult capacity has definitely grown since COVID became what social distancing and these stay-at-home orders has done for us is alleviated most of the other things we're seeing in the hospitals this time of year, the car accidents, the shootings, the stabbings. Everyone has been doing their part to kind of ebb that flow, which gives us the ability to handle an increase of COVID patients. What the hospital is most concerned about is what happens when we have both, when society returns to normal and we have all the normal things we see these times of years when the weather is nice and people are out enjoying life. can we handle both? Will we have the resources?
So another way that this stay-at-home order is helping you out is by reducing the number of accidents that are occurring outside of the home?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you been sick? Did you get tested for COVID-19? What was that experience like for you? Call us at 277-5866 or tweet to us using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. What do you think of calls to reopen the state this month? Again, that number is 505-277-5866. And then I have a question for both Kristen Redman and Dr. Jensen. And I just wanted to ask, what do you think people listening need to know about the day-to-day reality that you're facing? Let's start with you, Kristen.
I think the biggest thing, and to, you know, follow the sentiments and that Dr. Jensen said before, is we need patience. Everyone is scared. Everyone is very anxious. We want life to return to normal. We don't yet know what that normal is. You know, you hear in the media that we are on the front lines and doing this, but the reality of the situation is if you have to come to the hospital and you're already ill, depending on the course of your illness, we are doing all we can to keep these patients alive. This is a new virus for us, which means there are new ways to treat it and new methodologies being explored. And we're doing all that we can. And sometimes that is not enough. And I think the general public, because it's this invisible monster that we can't see, may not be taking that seriously enough. So okay. What we ask is just, you know, be patient. Do your part. Keep washing your hands. Wear your mask when you're out in public. This will end at some point. We want to make it as successful of a transition as possible, and that transition will eventually come. Just work with us to do what you can, because you don't want to see what we have to do in the hospital right now.
Okay, and I would like to put that question to you as well, Dr. Jensen. What is it about your day-to-day reality that maybe people in the general public need to understand?
Well, you know, when in the intensive care unit, we see the sickest of the sick, and that obviously isn't everyone who gets COVID. So most people recover, but it's making a lot of people very, very ill. I guess what I would say is that's scary and uncertain, and it's incredibly frightening and stressful for the nurses and the respiratory therapists and everyone that cares for these patients. But we also understand all of the economic stresses and the social stresses that people have. And I guess what I would say is reflect Kristen's comments. Keep doing what you can. Wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance, and just remember that we all need each other.
Okay, well, thank you, and thank you to Kristen Redman. I do actually, before I let you go, Kristen, I want to ask you about Operation Gridlock and what your thoughts are on when you see people protesting for an immediate end to stay-at-home orders.
I think it comes, you know, from a place of fear. I think it comes from a place of anxiety, you know. Everybody wants to know how they're going to pay their bills and how life will continue. And especially for small business owners, they want to know that their life's work isn't going to go down the toilet because of circumstances beyond their control. And we all understand that. I think what gets frustrating for some of the healthcare workers, including myself, you know, when we see the signs, I need my haircut, when we see the signs that I want to go play golf, you know, that's not asking to go back to work. That's asking for someone else to go back to work for you. And that sense of entitlement and honestly selfishness gets a little hard to swallow with essential workers working as hard as we are to keep these things going. You know, history has shown that we can't just open things up and go back to normal because our surge will be even worse than originally predicted. It has to be a controlled, organized effort, so we're not overwhelmed. That's exactly what we're trying to avoid. And I just want to echo that call to just keep doing what you're doing and be patient and trust that we will get there. It's going to be okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Kristen. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Ty Bannerman. We are discussing the pandemic and possible timelines for reopening New Mexico. We are going to be joined by Nora Meyer-Sackett, the governor's press secretary, as well as Albuquerque City Councilor Brooke Besson in the second part of our hour. So call us at 277-5866 and let us know what questions you have for your elected officials. We are going to be taking a quick break.
Support comes from Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm, providing legal advice and representation for Native American tribes, people facing criminal charges, expungement of criminal records, civil rights plaintiffs, and survivors of sexual abuse. RothsteinLaw.com.
Next time you lace up your running shoes, don't forget to take KUNM with you. Our new mobile app has live streaming, our two-week archive, podcasts, and much more to keep you company on your run. Search KUNM in the Apple App Store or Google Play and download today.
Even as we maintain safe physical distance, it's more important than ever that we connect with people. One tremendously powerful way to do that is through music. I'm Fred Child. Join me to share the wonder and the beauty of music in concert on APM's Performance Today.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. We are discussing the potential consequences of reopening our state. I have a call from Glenn on the line. Good morning, Glenn. You're calling from Jemez Springs, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. How are you? Thanks for doing this, and thank you for the medical personnel who are commenting. I really appreciate what they're saying. Yesterday, NPR News, I heard that a woman had a real problem with her bill that came at her after she went in for a test to see if she had COVID. And she got stung with a huge amount. And I just think that the word needs to go out to New Mexicans. Go to your primary doc first before you go for a test so this doesn't happen to you. I'm on Social Security, and I certainly couldn't afford doing something like that, still waiting for my $1,200 check. So that would be a comment.
Thank you so much for your comment, Glenn. And Dr. Jensen, is this how people should go about getting their testing done?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't go directly to your primary doctor. I would call them for sure. And there's a lot of places through the Department of Health that are doing free testing around the community. So if you go to the Department of Health website, there's a lot of information readily available about forms that you can fill out to go through for free testing. So check that out first.
Okay, thank you. So I am now going to bring Noel Smith, a journalist with the Farmington Daily Times, into the conversation. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, Ty.
So Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett recently declared an economic emergency in the community, and he is asking for Governor Lujan Grisham to allow for businesses to open. How are people in Farmington responding to his request?
I think there have been questions about it, as well as, of course, some support. And I know that a few days after the declaration was made, he went back and clarified exactly what he was looking for, and that is trying to support a plan for reopening businesses.
So this is different than, say, the insistence on reopening that we're seeing from, say, the mayor of Grants, New Mexico, where they recently tried to reopen golf courses and such in defiance of the order.
Right. What he's calling for is, or stressing that there's a need for a pathway forward as far as asking the mayor to, not the mayor, the governor to consider businesses that have been closed under the public health order, but allowing those that provide similar services to, I guess, like big box stores to open, especially mm-hmm. those small businesses, because economically we know they're suffering.
Right. Now, Farmington neighbors the Navajo Nation, which has had the third highest rate of COVID cases in the country, and enacted its own measures to prevent community spread. Is there concern on the Navajo Nation about bordering communities opening up and undermining their own social distancing policies?
I think so. I know that tribal leaders have been taking steps to try to collaborate with the grocery stores that operate on the Navajo Nation, mainly the Bash's Food Chain, which is based out of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So Bash's has 8 grocery stores across the Navajo Nation. And what they're doing is what they call Operation First of the Month. So what they're encouraging is Bash's to have a set of hours for the elderly on May 1st. So they can come in and shop and stay local. And throughout this entire crisis, the leadership has encouraged people to send only one person to town to shop for essential items.
And when you say town,
you see that. Oh, go ahead.
When you say town, what do you mean exactly? That, like, towns on the Navajo Nation?
I'm talking about border towns. So
okay, like Farmington.
Farmington, Gallup, possibly Grant. That's what I'm talking about. So what they're telling people is, you know, the entire family doesn't have to go to the store. You know, just select one person to go and get the essential items. And they're stressing that, you know, that the need to protect your children, the need to protect your Che, your Masani, and don't, you know, unnecessarily expose them to the virus just because, you know, you're wanting to leave your home and go into town.
May I ask you what those words mean, Che, Masani?
Che and Masani, that is your maternal grandfather, and Masani is your maternal grandmother. For paternal grandparents, you call them your Nollies.
Okay. So what about tribal members who live in bordering communities like Farmington? Are their voices being heard or considered when the mayor proposes that the stay-at-home order be lifted?
I don't think their voices have been considered. I think the dilemma for Navajos who live in the border towns is whether to go home to the reservation or to go back to check on loved ones who live on the reservation. Mm-hmm. For example, me, I live in Farmington, and I have relatives who live in the Sheep Springs area. And my dilemma is, you know, it's convenient for me to get supplies that they need. The dilemma is whether I go to deliver it to them and what precautions I have to take as far as going there, because I don't want to, you know, expose them to the virus or any type of bacteria.
Now, if the stay-at-home order were to be lifted, whether or not it's in Farmington or the state as a whole, how would that impact your decision to travel onto the Navajo Nation?
I can't really answer that. Mm-hmm. My question is, I guess what I'm kind of trying to figure out is how lifting the stay-at-home orders in the state is going to, the potential for cases to surge again, because you'll still have one part of the state that's seeing an increase in case numbers as far as mm-hmm. positive cases. So how do you encourage someone from the Navajo Nation to not travel to Albuquerque to get supplies that they can't find in Gallup or in Farmington, like mm-hmm. you know, going to a Costco? Albuquerque has Costco, you know, people want to go to Costco. So how do you encourage them not to take that step and just continue to shop locally or in nearby town?
Now, the Navajo Nation, like all Native American communities, has long dealt with the consequences of colonialism and racism. How does that impact what's happening in relation to the virus outbreak?
I think you have a lot of people saying, you know, this is just another system of that. You know, we had to overcome colonialism. We had to overcome the ramifications of that colonialism. We've had to overcome diseases like smallpox, forced relocations, and in the case of Navajos, internment at Bosque Redondo. But the thing that's coming out of all of that I hear President Jonathan Nez say a lot is that we're resilient. We're mm-hmm. resilient people. Navajos and all Native tribes are resilient, so we will get through this. Mm-hmm. But one way to get through this is following these guidelines that are being issued by Navajo Area Indian Health Service, Navajo Department of Health, the epidemiology teams, you know, the CDC, the states. We need to follow those guidelines, and they've been stressing that, whether that's, mm-hmm. you know, issuing public health orders for people to wear masks in public, encouraging the hand washing, encouraging social distancing, enforcing the curfews to try to slow down that community spread.
Are there ways that the people, not necessarily the government on Navajo Nation, but rather the people who live there, are they working together in ways to get through this that go beyond curfews and so forth?
I say so. When I've gone into the communities, I see, you know, the public messages, these handmade signs, whether it's from the local chapter government or someone in the community taking time to remind people, you know, stay at home, stay safe. There's a curfew, you know, let's think of our loved ones before taking that step outside the door. You see organizations led by Navajos who are trying to get supplies out to families, trying to get supplies out to community members. You see these efforts happening at the local level. Mm-hmm. And you see people reminding each other, you need to, you know, wear a mask, wear gloves. Or if you don't have a mask, you know, I have an extra one here. Take it. Please wear it.
Now, listeners, do you live in a community whose elected officials are pushing to reopen businesses? What do you think about their stance? Give us a call at 277-5866. We had a call from Jennifer, who has a comment for us. She would like to say that people who want to work are not selfish. They need money to live. The government is giving money to corporations to survive, but what about individuals? They need money. What are you hearing, Noel, about the difficulties people on the Navajo Nation are having meeting their basic needs right now?
I'm hearing I think what the situation that's happening now is exposing the problems or the lack of businesses on the Navajo Nation. I mean, we have mm-hmm. small businesses. We have a lot of self-employed individuals who offer services, but we don't have the big box stores out there that economic development's lacking. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why you see people continuing to come to the border towns for services. I'm seeing a lot of these people who are self-employed wondering how they're going to financially make it through this situation because they can't apply for, you know, small business loans like an established store. Mm-hmm. Or an established location can. I see people wanting, you know, coming out for food drives. I've covered a couple of food distributions on the Navajo Nation, and you see people coming just for that basic necessity, you know. And it's mm-hmm. The donation itself is small, but you know, the need is there, and the response is there.
Now, is that are there precautions being taken in situations like that to, you know, make sure that there's not that there is social distancing happening during food distributions and so forth?
Oh, definitely. The ones I've gone through have been conducted by drive-through. So they tell the individuals in the vehicle, you know, the driver, and if there is a passenger, to stay in their vehicle. I went to a food distribution in Sheep Springs, and all the volunteers who were providing the instructions and loading the supplies were wearing masks and gloves. And it was held at the chapter compound, so they only allowed like maybe three vehicles in at a time. And gave the instructions, once again, you know, stay in your vehicle. If the person wasn't wearing a mask, they would ask them to wear their mask if they have one. If they don't, they gave them one. But mainly on practicing that social distancing, even how the volunteers themselves were situated. There was always a distance between them and the individuals. And at one case, when one young man did get out of his car, and he was promptly told, you need to get back in your vehicle. Do not step out of your vehicle.
So it is a pretty serious, not exactly enforcement, but encouragement there. Now, I understand. Now, Grants is fairly close to another outlier of the Navajo Nation. Is that right?
Yes, it's toward part of the a community along the eastern border of the Navajo Nation.
Now, is there a lot of concern when a mayor decides that he's going to insist on opening businesses in defiance of the governor's order?
I would think so. That section of the Navajo Nation isn't part of the coverage area that I report about, but I know one thing I've read is that the governor of the Pueblo of Acoma has opposed the governor of the mayor of Grants reopening the city. I know that I've read that in terms of I guess the authoritative voice coming from Winder Rock. I haven't heard any of that, and I haven't heard the leadership's saying much about whether they oppose Grants' decision to reopen or discouraging tribal members from going there to shop.
Do you think that there's kind of a general lack of awareness about how one community's decisions can affect another community, that, like, say, the Navajo Nation?
I think so. I think what this is proving is how important Navajo dollars are to these border towns.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing that's being demonstrated. I think there's also still the lack of understanding amongst some of the members of the Navajo Nation about how important it is to stay at home and to take precautions if they decide to venture out. I know that there's been a focus on, you know, explaining that to folks, but I mean, you can't curb, you know, another person's actions. If they decide to go, they're going to go. But I think that the leaderships in the border towns do need to consider who is going to be impacted, or, you know, a sector that's going to be impacted by this.
Well, what about medical facilities on Navajo Nation? When people do get sick, where do they go for help?
Majority of them will go to the facility operated by the Indian Health Service or a tribally operated medical facility that is federally contracted. So those are mainly the hospital services that are on the Navajo Nation.
I have a call from Bill in Albuquerque. However, he is not on the line. He does have a comment. He says, in New Mexico, less than 5% of doctors are Hispanic or Native, and that reflects poorly on UNM Medical School, whose duty is to take care of the community. The inability to reflect the community is an abject failure. So is that something that concerns people on the Navajo Nation?
I cannot say.
Okay. Well, I want to actually, Dr. Jensen, are you still with us?
I am.
Is that a concern that you have encountered in your position as a pulmonologist with various hospitals in Albuquerque?
And can you repeat the question for me?
Certainly. So Bill says that he is concerned about the lack of Hispanic or Native doctors in the facilities in New Mexico. He says that less than 5% are Hispanic or Native, and that reflects this inability to reflect the community is a failure. Is that a concern that you're encountering in your job at the hospitals?
Well, I would say that I don't know the percentages and the demographics of the medical school, but I would say that in general there's been an increasing representation of all ethnic backgrounds, but in And I would, you know, obviously those are reflections of large social problems, and they always have an impact on the way that we interface with one another. But I would say by and large, my ability to care for patients of all backgrounds is with, you know, patience and empathy and communication is good.
Okay, you are listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. We are talking about the possibility of reopening our state and how it might affect New Mexicans. What questions do you have about how the reopening of New Mexico might proceed? Are you concerned about a premature opening, or do you feel that the time has come? Call us at 277-5866. Tweet us at hashtag Let's Talk New Mexico, or email letstalk@kunm.org. We'll be back in a moment.
Support provided by Weekly Alibi, covering news, arts, and entertainment for Albuquerque since 1992. The friends at Weekly Alibi invite the community to help support local independent journalism when it's needed the most. Info at alibi.com/friends.
A big thank you to our members who make KUNM's news coverage possible, including breaking news and our expanded coverage of COVID-19. One way to help us keep news coming your way is to donate that vehicle you no longer need. We'll pick up the car, truck, or RV, get top dollar for it, and invest the funds right back into bringing you comprehensive news coverage. Donate that unwanted vehicle today and keep your community informed and safe. Get started at KUNM.org or call 1-888-KUNM-CAR.
Conservationists consider sage-grouse to be an indicator of the health of the Western Prairies ecosystem. For decades, their numbers have been declining from Washington and California to the Dakotas. Some tribes are leading the way to turn that trend around using indigenous knowledge. We'll hear all about this on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. We're talking about the possibility of reopening our state and what consequences that might have. Now I would like to welcome Councillor Brooke Besson, Albuquerque City Councillor for District 4. Good morning, Councillor Besson.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So, Councillor Besson, you and Councillor Don Harris recently drafted legislation asking Mayor Keller to create a plan to reopen non-essential businesses in Albuquerque before Governor Lujan Grisham lifts the stay-at-home order. Why do you feel like this is the right step?
Well, so to clarify, that's not what this resolution is for. This resolution is to call upon the mayor to reevaluate what non-essential is. And we do not want the mayor to go against what the governor is suggesting. However, you know, this is where Councilor Harris and I are very, very clear that the administration here and the mayor speaks with the governor regularly. So we're hoping that by having this reevaluation of what non-essential versus essential is and what non-emergency medical procedures may happen, in addition to the outdoor recreation facilities, to reevaluate that, we're hoping that the mayor will be able to talk to the governor and say, hey, Albuquerque is different than the rest of the state, and we have more capabilities. We still are, you know, we still have a high population, but it's pretty wide open spaces that we have available. So let's go ahead and reevaluate and make sure that we can open some of these non-essential businesses so that people can have a job. People can have a business that they won't have to shut down for good. People can get pre-screened for medical attention that might save their life in the long run.
Now, can you give me an example?
This is really not saying that he needs to do anything against the governor or before the governor, but hoping that this will help us reopen safely a little bit sooner than otherwise.
Okay, can you tell me about some of the businesses that are currently considered non-essential that you think might be good candidates for being reevaluated as essential and therefore allowed to open up again?
Sure. I mean, we're seeing, you know, Councilor Harris and I are both thinking, and I know I, in my opinion, you know, if you can get it at a big box store, if you can get an item at Costco or at the grocery store or Walmart, Target, if you can get something there that another small local business sells, then they should be able to reopen as well for that good so that people can go ahead and start shopping and going for whatever product it is, whether it be, you know, a gift or whether it be clothing. You know, I think dog grooming is one that I've had people email me about, that why can't our dogs get groomed? But again, they can do it safely. And I think that the science behind it is that you have these big stores, and that was one of the things that we needed to, the governor made a decision to close everything but that in order to have some control and to make sure that there is, you know, more enforcement for safety. Well, now as we get more data coming in, it's appearing that these small businesses, they're emailing and calling me regularly saying, we will wear masks, we will do social distancing, we will minimize the number of people that are in our facility to 20%, just like these other locations, but please allow us to open. So if it's something that can be purchased in one of these big box stores that we have in a local business here, I think that it's fair and equitable to be able to let them open if that's what they choose to do for their health insurance, for their income, for their livelihood, and a whole other level.
Okay, so could you tell me a little bit more about what kind of safety precautions you would want to see as part of this reopening?
Sure. I think the safety precautions that we should follow are the same ones that are being issued now. So when you are expected, when you go into Lowe's or you go into Home Depot or, you know, any of these other places that are currently open, they're saying, you know, it has to be a minimized quantity of people based off of the fire marshal's evaluation and in conjunction with the governor. So minimizing, you know, if you have a total of 100 people allowed in the store and we're down to 20%, it's okay to say that only a maximum of 20 people can be in there, but they also have to stay 6 feet apart from one another. Or, you know, if we have to reopen these non-essential businesses and we choose to do that and say, okay, you guys can open, but you should wear gloves and masks, and everyone coming in should do that as well. And I think that from what I've been hearing from constituents, people are willing to do just that. They're not wanting to be unsafe. It's the fact that COVID is not the only threat anymore that we have to be paying attention to.
Okay, I have a call from Tina in Santa Fe. Good morning, Tina. What is your comment or question today?
Hi, thanks for listening to my call. I'm a Detroiter, and I've been following Detroit news, and they just raided a office, a holistic office, giving vitamin C injection therapy, and it was it really angered me that this is a global pandemic, and people who are getting angry on either side seem to think that they're the right. There's, you know, where I think the symptom is the anger, and people need to have more dialogue. There's just so much anger on both sides, and
yes.
You see that in Texas and Florida and other places that are opening up, Georgia governor. So I don't think anyone's at fault, but I think that the people need to be in more regarded as respectable solutions also, and not just these government agencies.
Well, thank you so much, Tina. Is that something that you are experiencing, Councillor Bisson, that there's maybe some nuance being lost in the conversation about reopening versus stay at home?
You know, and I appreciate Tina's comment, because I think that that really, really gets to a big point that is something that we should pay attention to, right? This is about finding balance. And finding balance in life is about flexibility and being able to adjust, right? And so right now, we a month or two ago with this pandemic, we had certain data and certain science, and our state and city reacted accordingly. Well, now there's a whole bunch of new data. So now it's time to reevaluate and see how we can make an adjustment so that we can still be safe, but we can also consider some of the other facts that go along with it so that we can find that balance. And that's exactly what I think Tina was saying, is it's not about one extreme or the other. It's about people keeping people safe on many levels.
Have you lost income due to the pandemic? What worries you the most about the future? With our elected officials offering such different perspectives on COVID-19, how do you decide who to trust? There's still time to call in this morning, 277-5866. Now, Councillor Bisson, one thing that I think people are concerned about is that workers at these small businesses would potentially face more exposure to COVID-19 than customers. How would this legislation keep them safe?
Well, and that's going back again to those safety precautions, right? And also making sure that people are aware that if the business and the owner of the business or if the employees, this is not saying that we are forcing people to open up. This is not saying that we're forcing people to start going out and they have to do this. This is about offering a safe option. So with what we're hearing, I get, you know, I mean, there's these businesses, there's golf, there's different outdoor activities that we have shut down to where people want to still be safe, but they want to either go to work or have their business succeed. And, you know, I think that with Albuquerque, we have a culture here that if we were to let a lot of these small businesses go out of business permanently by keeping them shut for too much longer, then that's going to deter from the culture that we offer, that people come from all over the world to see. And this is a long-term effect. But it's not about money over lives. This is about making sure that we find that balance so that the money can be found if the business wants to open and if they can do it safely following these same parameters. It's about offering some fairness and equity with it.
Now, another concern might be if businesses reopen, what about workers who are unable to return to work, whether it's because of they're afraid of COVID-19 exposure or they have child care needs due to the schools being closed? Could they potentially lose their benefits or their jobs because of that?
Well, I can't speak to that for the exact answer regarding the different policies of the different businesses and stuff, but I can say that right now, with everything being shut down, people are losing their health insurance. People are losing their income. Some people I talk to have one parent that could be working but has to stay home with the children now that they're home. And then you have another parent that is at work, so their income is even being minimized by half. And it's through a choice that it's another struggle that mm-hmm. that these parents both want to work and they both could work, but one of them has to stay home for childcare. We have to find a way to try to best accommodate everybody. And it's not going to be a perfect one-size solution. And that's the point of all of this.
Now, I do want to mention at this point that we were supposed to have Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's spokesperson on the line this morning to talk about the state's response, but she is not picking up this morning. I do have a Facebook comment from Denise. If restrictions are lifted, there is a good chance we will be worse off, like history tells us, with the Spanish flu, due to there being multiple waves of outbreak. There would be no rush if the federal government didn't give the stimulus money to the big businesses that didn't need it and gave it to the small businesses instead. We need to abide by what the mayor and the governor is telling us to do and stay home. What is your response, Councillor Bisson?
Well, I think that I think that there's a good point there. I know that there's the PPP that people have been getting, but in addition to that, not all these small businesses have been getting it. It's a lot of these different larger businesses that are getting it, and that's part of the problem too. Is we want to make sure that things get taken care of where we can help these. Sorry, my kid was needing help with school, so I got a little bit distracted.
No problem.
But making sure that we can offer aid, and yes, if we reopen, people are worried about another peak. The point that I think we're trying to make is that if the peak has already come, if that has already come and gone, then we need to make a new evaluation because we can't just wait for a new peak while thinking the worst is not here yet. That's where I say that we have to have that flexibility and that ability to readjust. I don't think that we're saying let's reopen everything. Mm-hmm. We're not saying let's go totally back to what used to be the normal. We're saying be fair. If a small business or a local business or some outdoor recreation area can be open and can follow the same rules and regulations that are being offered to these big box stores, then let's start allowing that to happen.
Okay, I do want to bring back Dr. Jensen. Denise, the commenter, mentioned the multiple waves of the 1918 flu. Is that an expected feature of this pandemic, Dr. Jensen?
Well, I'm not an epidemiologic expert for sure, but my understanding is that we're expected to have multiple peaks, kind of like the triple peak that we had with the flu of 1918. So I know that there is an expected peak to occur in the fall.
Mm-hmm. I have a thank you, Dr. Jensen. I have a caller, Karen from Albuquerque. Good morning, Karen. What is your comment today?
Well, I appreciate that you're bringing up this subject because, I am concerned that we're going to
open things too soon. And my feeling is that why don't we just wait and follow the governor, because she's done such a good job so far of keeping us safe. I just don't want us to, you know, go forward. But anyway, one of the counselors keeps saying there's some new data. Well, what is that new data that is making them feel that it's okay to start opening up things? That's all. Thank you.
Counselor Bisson?
Yeah, thank you. Karen, I definitely think that we should follow and make sure to, there's a reason why we have a governor and then a mayor, and then, you know, there's this different levels that we have. So we're certainly not saying go against the governor. We're hoping to work with the governor, and I'm hoping the mayor will do that on our behalf. And the new data is in general and everything. Every day we get stats, right? Everybody can. You can go to the Department of Health website. People can go to CDC if you want to go farther than this, but I've been really focused on Albuquerque. We do get, as counselors, updates every day for how many new cases are here in Bernalillo County, how many deaths, how many total tests were given. And the point that we're trying to say is that a month and a half, 2 months ago, with what we were estimating and what we were being told to estimate and to anticipate about to happen, those numbers were much higher than what we have right now. So being that those numbers, we never reached the number of deaths, the thousands and thousands of deaths here locally, that was something that I think we should celebrate. We should be able to celebrate that this is working and that the choices have been really, really good up to this point. Now that these numbers are lower and we're finding out that the threat is still there and still needs to be respected, we also recognize that there's times now where we need to evaluate there's more than one threat. You have, like I said, people starving. You have an increase in domestic violence. You have child abuse. We have more with alcoholism. There's people with lost income, lost health insurance. There's people starving because they don't have a way to get food or pay their bills. And these are the other threats that we're saying we need to find a way to balance safely. Again, not opening up everything and going to another extreme, but recognizing that with the data that we have, the numbers of deaths and the numbers of cases were not as high as we anticipated. And if there's another peak, let's put our pride aside and let's make sure to reevaluate as well. Let's keep being able to flex with this.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Bisson. I would love to go to the governor's office for a response. However, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's spokesperson did not pick up this morning as expected. That is all the time we have today. Thanks everyone who called in to share your thoughts. Thanks so much to our guests, critical care specialist Dr. Craig Jensen, Albuquerque City Councilor Brooke Bisson, journalist Noel Smith with the Farmington Daily Times. Let's keep this conversation going. Share your thoughts on Twitter, hashtag Let's Talk NM, on Facebook, search for KUNM Radio, or email letstalk@kunm.org. If you missed part of the show, you can always stream it online or subscribe wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Also, check out our show, Your NM Government, bringing you daily stories of how the pandemic is affecting folks across the state. Tonight at 7:30, they're paying tributes to New Mexicans who lost their lives to the coronavirus. That's Your NM Government on your podcast app. I'm Ty Bannerman. Our engineer is Marina Spencer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. Bryce Dix live tweeted. Our executive producer is Hannah Colton. And this is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.